Our joy cannot be rooted in the denial of suffering. Our joy has to be rooted in being fully with what is. This process of change on ourselves, or acknowledging how we respond to change so that we can stay open under changing conditions and bring to the culture what it needs to allow it to move in an evolutionary leap at this point through the fact that we, with our lives as our message, come forth to make the inner world consonant with the outer world. So we work to create social institutions like we've done with SEVA. Social institutions that represent the inner heart, that represent truth and compassion and impeccability and stuff like that. And we need not fear fulfilling our incarnations as political entities, as family entities, because there is where our feeding comes. We learn how to use life as food through which we become healed. And the whole phrase, it's too much, turns into, it's just enough. Ah, yeah, wow. Whew. There goes the house. Ooh. Yeah. For you and I to acknowledge what we are together, this networking process, why we come together like this, is for this purpose, to find strength in the realization that there are other people that are sharing this understanding of the earth and the world and the way we are and who we are and who we aren't. The Dalai Lama said, he's really very cool cat. The Dalai Lama said, meet everybody as if you already know them. Which I think he cleaned up for Western consumption. Because the Eastern version, as I've heard, is meet everybody as your mother. But I don't think he figured we were ready for that yet. Because he means in a reincarnational sense that we were, see. But it's, I mean, everybody here you already know. Hi, I haven't seen you this entire incarnation. Where have you been keeping yourself? You rascal. I mean, this is the living room, this is the family. What are we gonna do? We're all in the stew together. People say, well, is it hopeless? You got a great line from somebody, T.S. Eliot. I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope of the wrong thing. I mean, whatever it is, it's going to be much farther out than you can think. The thinking mind is so trivial the way it creates projections. How it is so much more interesting. I mean, all the things I was figuring out when I was in college about what I'd be when I grow up, none of them were like this. I think it's a very interesting exercise for us to listen to and examine our lives to see how we respond to change and to consider the possibility that you could open to change and realize that it's a curriculum and an adventure and also and out of it may come something, probably will come more than you thought would come, even when it's scary. People that have changes happening in their bodies, in their economics, in their political life, in their family life. At what point are you conscious enough to entertain, along with the feeling of, oh God, am I suffering, the possibility that suffering is grace? to keep that balance. I won't ask for it. But if it comes, wow, this is far out. And the deepest fear, of course, is the one of death. That's the one the mind is most freaked about. And to have the lightness, the if you don't have a sense of humor, it isn't funny place. It's like the Zen monk who's dying and his students say, but you haven't written your death poem, Master. And he sits up and I haven't written my death poem. And he picks up his brush and he calligraphies madly and then dies. And the calligraphy says, birth is thus, death is thus, verse or no verse, what's the fuss?